Can everybody hear me okay? Good, good. Well, thank you for joining us all this evening. I hope that's not too complicated a passage. I'll spend some time trying to explain it to you this evening, but it would be good if you can keep that passage open. So before we look at this passage, let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. Dear Lord, as we look at this passage in Daniel chapter 9, open our hearts and our lives to receive what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. America will launch the first manned rocket to the moon. There will be three men in the crew. Retro rockets will be used in the journey to the moon. The astronauts will experience weightlessness. When the spacecraft returns, it will splash down in the Pacific Ocean. You might think that what I've just said comes from the history books. Actually, it's from a science fiction novel called From the Earth to the Moon, written by Jules Verne in 1865. Amazingly, over 100 years before Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, Jules Verne predicted remarkably accurate insights into manned space travel. By the way, he got quite a few things wrong too. But imagine you are a top scientist in the early 1960s, and in September 1962, you hear President John F. Kennedy announce to the world, "We choose to go to the moon." Suddenly, Jules Verne's words take on a new impact. There would be a sense of anticipation and excitement that what was written so long ago was becoming a reality. This is what our passage tonight is all about. In tonight's passage, Daniel is an old man. He was probably in his late 80s and living out his retirement in Babylon after decades of faithful service as a statesman and civil servant. The date is 539 BC, and Daniel realized that something major was going to happen in the history of God's people. There was an air of anticipation and excitement that what was written so long ago was becoming a reality. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 27 has one of the longest prayers that is recorded in the Bible. And this passage provides some great insights into who Daniel was. So point one, firstly, we see a sacred investigation, a sacred investigation. These opening verses show that Daniel's prayer was rooted and grounded in God's word in the Bible. In verses 1 to 2, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord, to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. The first thing we need to see here is that Daniel's prayer flows out of reading and studying biblical scrolls. A bit like John told us this morning, reading our Bible is essential to getting to understand God. And from reading the Bible, we should then go into prayer. Daniel had been looking at what he describes as the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah. And these scrolls would have told Daniel about the fall of Jerusalem, the exile into Babylon, and the return of God's people after 70 years. Gordon read this passage from Jeremiah to us earlier in this service. Daniel would have realized that the 70 years were nearly over. He was sent into exile around 605 BC, and it was now roughly 66 years later. Daniel knew God had promised that his people would be brought back from exile, and so he prayed. Daniel prayed as a result of studying and understanding God's plan and character that was revealed through God's word. These verses are a challenge for us today as Christians. We need to proactively read and study and understand the Bible. We don't do this as a cold or academic exercise. but as a way to deepen our personal love and relationship with God. And as we get to know God's character and his plans, our prayers will echo and will be in tune with the will and purposes of God. So firstly, a sacred investigation, and secondly, a solemn confession. As I said earlier, Daniel 9 records one of the longest prayers in the Bible. A bit like the Lord's Prayer, it can teach us how to pray. Daniel's prayer has four very distinctive steps. The first step is preparation. In verse 3, it says, "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel is very disciplined in preparing for prayer. Daniel 6, chapter 10 says that he faced Jerusalem three times a day. He got down on his knees and prayed. And here in verse 3, we're not talking about frequency. We're focusing on the wholeheartedness of Daniel's prayer. He prepared with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. These are all physical signs that show Daniel's humility and passion before God. Perhaps we should follow Daniel's example and humbly pause before entering God's holy presence in prayer. So the first step is preparation. The second step is praise. In verse 4, it says, "I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." It's significant that the first words of Daniel's prayer are worship and praise. Daniel focused on who God is. He declared God's greatness and power, and that he is a God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love. And he is a God who faithfully fulfills his promises to his people. How often do we pray with praise and thankfulness? Or do our prayers just ask God for stuff? At any point, do we focus on the person that we are praying to? Perhaps we should take a leaf from Daniel's book and recognize God's amazing and awesome greatness and declare God's majesty, love, and faithfulness to us in our own prayers. So first step is preparation, second is praise, the third step is confession. Verse 8, "To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you." The majority of Daniel's prayer is a confession, but with 70 years of exile and judgment about to come to an end, you would have thought that Daniel's prayer would have been an explosion of praise and thanksgiving, not a confession. Significantly, Daniel's prayer is a corporate confession. For example, he prayed in verses 5 and 6, "We have sinned and done wrong. We have not listened to your servants." Daniel is confessing on behalf of all of God's people and himself. He also compares God's faithfulness and love to the sinfulness and shame of his people. As verse 15 says, "We have sinned, we have done wickedly." Daniel understood that the exile into Babylon was because of the continual sin of God's people. So Daniel admits and confesses his sin and the sins of God's people to restore the relationship that had been damaged. Again, perhaps we should follow Daniel's example and humbly confess our sins and the sins of our country. So the first step was preparation, the second praise, the third confession, the last step is petition. Verse 17, "Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolation." Daniel does not pray, "Lord, free us from this terrible land and this oppressive regime." Instead, Daniel prays, Lord, have mercy. Now we know that grace is receiving something good that we don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving a punishment that we do deserve. I'll say that again. Grace is receiving something good that we don't deserve, and mercy is not receiving a punishment that we do deserve. Because of their sin against God, God's people rightly deserved God's judgment and punishment. Daniel accepts this truth, but prays that God, in his mercy, will show his favor on his people. In other words, the return from exile is not the result of a political or an economic decision by King Darius. No, God's people are freed as evidence of God's love and God's mercy towards his people. Our challenge today as Christians is to be honest about the sin in our lives and our personal and corporate responsibility connected with it. We need to pray for God's forgiveness and God's mercy, and to turn our lives afresh and hold wholeheartedly back to him. So my first point was a sacred investigation. Secondly, a solemn confession. And lastly, a supernatural explanation. These verses provide insight into what happens in heaven when God's people pray. Firstly, prayer is heard. Prayer is heard. Verse 23, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you. As soon as Daniel started to pray, his words were heard in heaven. In the same way, when we pray, even though we might think that they will only reach as far as the ceiling, our words are received in heaven. That should be an encouragement. So firstly, prayer is heard. Secondly, prayer is answered. Go back to verse 21. It says, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight. Gabriel went to Daniel and was a visual representation of God, acknowledging and responding to Daniel's prayer. When we pray, we are heard in heaven and answered according to God's timetable and God's purposes. So firstly, prayer is heard. Secondly, prayer is answered. Thirdly, prayer brings assurance. Verse 22, he made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. This suggests that the answer to Daniel's prayer would include a heavenly insight into God's plan and purpose for the future. Daniel is assured that God is in complete control of what will happen in the future. Gabriel shared with Daniel a picture of the future in response to his prayer. The mention of Jerusalem being rebuilt in verse 25 would have been a wonderful assurance to Daniel. God's people would return from exile. But I don't know if you noticed, Gabriel widens this time scale of the vision and refers twice to the Anointed One or Messiah. That's in verses 25 and 26. This obviously is a reference to Jesus, the promised Messiah. Daniel was shown that complete and everlasting freedom would come through Jesus, the promised Messiah. In the same way, we receive true freedom and forgiveness of sin and eternal life because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus brings assurance. As Christians today, we need to remember that our prayers are heard in heaven and they will be answered according to God's timetable and for God's purposes, and that we have an eternal assurance because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross at Calvary. So my three points from tonight's passage again were a sacred investigation, a solemn confession, and a supernatural explanation. Now, to finish, I just want to say that I've been told, I haven't checked, maybe I'll get time to someday, that if you look through the Bible for things that God does through Christian lives that are not prompted by prayer, you won't find anything. Everything that is part of God's ministry, God does through prayer. Someone has said that prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. So let us take up and use this privilege of prayer. Daniel was a man who stood against the trends of the culture of his day. He was a man of prayer, and through prayer, he was able to come humbly into God's presence and asked in verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. In the same way this week, let us humbly come into God's presence and ask, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Amen.